This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Thursday. We'll do a little Trump's negotiating, currently negotiating stuff. Let's cross our fingers, say a prayer about that. We'll probably get to fish talk. And a half hour from now, Ryan Gerdusky is going to join us. Just in a great mood. I don't even know what to say. I'm in a great mood. Oh, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Email your questions in now. Don't wait. They're already stacking up. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, as we have discussed many, many times before, Donald Trump negotiates every single time in the exact same way. He's been doing this publicly since long before he even got into politics. But since he's been in politics, that's over a decade, he does the exact same thing every single time. And there are still people too stupid to understand what he's doing, even though he wrote a book about it. He discusses it all the time. What does he do? It's a very effective negotiating tactic. He takes the absolute extreme position on both sides of the issue. I've used this analogy before because it's so Donald Trump. Hey, I might give you $1 billion, or I could shoot you in the face. Or $1 billion, or shoot you in the face. And what happens is people on the left, people on the right, people in the media. He comes out and says, I'm going to give you $1 billion. He can't do that. We don't have the money. That's ridiculous. And then the next breath, he says, or I might shoot you in the face. He can't do it. That's murder. Donald Trump is going to shoot someone in the face. He's just negotiating. Remember the Greenland thing? Remember, I'm going to buy Greenland. I'm going to own Greenland. I want Greenland. I can't rule out a military invasion. I can't roll it up. What happened in the end? Got exactly what he wanted. A bunch of concessions. We crowded China and Russia out of Greenland. In the end, by taking extreme, crazy, he can't say that positions, he got what he wanted in the end. If I'm buying a business from Jewish producer, If I'm buying a business from producer Corey, I can tell him, look, I'll give you $1 million, or I'll just take you to court, sue you into bankruptcy, or $1 million. What do I want in the end? Sell it to me for $500,000. That's what I want in the end. With Iran, as I have said over and over and over and over and over again, Ryan Gerdusky will give us the polling in a half hour to confirm or not what I'm telling you, but Donald Trump knows. He knows it is unbelievably unpopular with independents, with the additional parts of the coalition. You're fine, and maybe you personally aren't, but the hardcore MAGAs are fine, but they're always fine. Independents hate it. They think he's not focused domestically. Therefore, Donald Trump knows he has to get it wrapped up. Whatever happens, he has to get it wrapped up. So if you're looking at headlines, here are headlines you've seen all day today. Donald Trump has plans to send in ground troops. Donald Trump's going to send in the ground troops. The Marines are going in. The plans have already been put in place. Donald Trump's sending in the ground troops. And then, right by those headlines, you've seen headlines all day long of Iran's close to making a deal. Iran wants to make a deal. They're close to making a deal. They're almost going to make a deal. All this is coming from Donald Trump as a negotiating tactic. Donald Trump came out today on social media. I'm not going to read it for you. He came out a few hours ago and said, hey, these attacks on Iranian power plants, all that stopped until April 6th. We're in the middle of negotiations. Hey, no more. What's he doing? He's taking the extreme side on both sides in an attempt to wrap it up and get out. So he'll sit down and tell the media this.
They said to show you the fact that we're real and solid and we're there. We're going to let you have eight big boats of oil. And I didn't think much about it. Eight big tankers are going loaded up with oil right through. And I said, well, I guess they were right. And they were real. And I think they were Pakistani flagged.
Yes.
And I said, well, I guess we're dealing with the right people. And actually, they then apologized for something they said. And they said, we're going to send two more boats. And it ended up being 10 boats. All right. I hope I haven't screwed up your negotiations. But I thought it was appropriate to say, because I did taunt you the other day by saying they're going to give us a present.
They gave us some oil. We're negotiating with them through Pakistan. Stop bombing the oil fields. Hey, stop. All that ceases till April 6th. We're talking. It's going well. But also, I could send in the Marines right now if I wanted to. I might send in the Marines and the 82nd Airborne. I'll just come in and kill every one of you. It'd be easy. It would be nothing. How seriously should you take any of this? Not at all. I take that back. That's not the way I mean it. How literally, even though you know I hate that word, how literally should you take any of this? Not at all. He is negotiating. Headline, Trump warns Iran to get serious about peace talks before it's too late as Pentagon readies the final blow to the regime. Headline from the New York Post. He's negotiating. He is not a moron. He knows we have to leave. We cannot get bogged down there. The political reality at home means we must come home soon. We have to, 100%. We cannot see this thing through all the way until Iran is in complete ruins, a regime change, war, months and months. That is not a political option. Donald Trump knows this. He's not a moron. He is. These are actually really important days, and it would be a very good idea to pray right now, because he wants that off ramp. He wants it, as we discussed. He's on the highway. He started this whole thing. He has to own that. And maybe he loves what he's done so far. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I'm not inside of his head, but he knows. Okay, time to get off the highway. We got it rolling. We killed the Ayatollah. We wounded them severely. Time to get off. I need an off-ramp. I got to pee. I need to get off the highway. He's looking for that off-ramp now. He wants it. We have to have it domestically. However, it might not be there. Because remember, everything I just told you, it's not like it's some unbelievably brilliant political analysis. Every single word of what I just told you, Iran knows. Why do you think Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz? It was always in their plan. Why would they do that? Iran knows that by driving up prices in America, it can severely wound the Trump presidency. You realize when Democrats take the House, Donald Trump is going to be impeached. It's a guarantee. Write it down. You take it home to the bank. Iran has the power to impeach Donald Trump by refusing negotiations. And Iran knows it. Headline. USPS, the Postal Service, adds an 8% package fee to fuel due to fuel costs. Right now, Iran is driving down Donald Trump's poll numbers to the point that if the election were held today, we would get utterly annihilated. Annihilated. They know this. Trump knows this. Everyone gets it. That's the game being played right now. Now, Iran's not having a great time either. All their leaders keep getting vaporized. Their economy was already shaky before. It can't be doing all that well when America and Israel have been bombing you to smithereens. Look, it's not like everything's great in Iran. But the weapon they have is not drones, although I know they have them. It's not drones. It's not missiles. It's not guns. The weapon they have is the mood of the American public. That is the ultimate weapon for Iran, and Iran knows it. And so does Donald Trump. And that is what is at stake here. So I will once again ask you to pray. These coming days are hugely important days. Hugely important. And there are many, many different forces at work who don't want to see an end to this. Many of them. The American communists, most definitely, because they know what's coming if it doesn't end. There you go. Now, we'll get to some emails, but first I want to tell you about Pure Talk. Pure Talk is the patriotic cell phone company. I am glad you enjoyed another little chat we had last night about Mac V. Sog, those super stud legends who went behind enemy lines in Vietnam, and I'm glad I once again got to tell you that the guy who runs Pure Talk, Mac V. Sog, Vietnam, two tours. How can it be with the Verizons, AT&Ts, and T-Mobiles? It's Pride Month! There's a cell company out there that just cares about veterans. They're going to deliver you an amazing cell phone plan for $25 a month. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, tons of data. $25 a month. What are you paying now? And they hire Americans. I'm proud to speak for Pure Talk. Switch to Pure Talk. You can do it during the break. You'll speak to an American on the phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So, we're all looking for that sane Democrat, right? Whoa. Congratulations. John Fetterman said something sane today. Isn't this so exciting?
Do the right thing. Put the country ahead of the party. Now there's a huge rally, you know, another No Kings kinds of protest. So now it's also probably motivating some people in my party that not they might be afraid to reopen now because they're demanding these kinds of extremes.
Man, he sounds like he could be one of us, doesn't he? I could vote for that guy. Oh, wait a minute. He voted against the SAVE Act today. Stop falling for the John Fetterman routine. Please, I'm begging you. Jesse, is Trump drunk on power? After Midnight Hammer in the Maduro raid, he's got to be feeling unstoppable. I think Hegseth couldn't wait to use the military, and with so many war hawks like Lindsey Graham constantly talking up the U.S. military might, why wouldn't Trump want to just go around and do whatever he wants? Look, I can't speak to drunk on power, and here's why. Donald Trump, historically, with our military, has not operated it in that way. He's been fairly non-interventionist. You got to go somewhere, get in, get out, be done. He's not operated it in that way historically. However, I think it would be very, very fair to say all of us, I mean, I know I would, I can't speak for you, would possibly be a little, quote, drunk on power if you were in command of the most powerful military force on Earth. These ancient conquerors, has it ever occurred to you that sometimes they went out and just conquered because they're sitting on this powerful army and, well, why wouldn't I? I got to use it. If I put an awesome drill in your hands, maybe you're not even a tool guy or a tool girl, but I put an awesome drill in your hands. What's the very first thing you're doing? The same thing I'm doing. Zzz, you got to press the trigger. It's human nature. So drunk on power? Maybe a little. I think that would be understandable. I suspect Trump is trying to sort out business globally. He is thinking globally. He has 4 years, so he has less than that now. So he's thinking globally. I want to cut this off and cut that off and make sure Iran's decapitated. I'm going to square away Venezuela. We're going to take Cuba. I think he's thinking globally. And I understand that because the United States president has to think globally. The danger in that is it doesn't look like you're thinking domestically. Every press conference is about Iran now. How does the blue-collar worker not making it feel about Iran? He doesn't give a crap. Shadow, I've been meditating on the Iran situation. In particular, the back and forth with our president and some group in Iran. Sounds like they're different factions within the Iranian power structure. If that's true, our president's peace plan is brilliant, even if it's a total head fake. Yeah, like I said, he's negotiating. He is simply negotiating. He has to be careful, though, now. He knows that. It's a dangerous thing in a negotiation to be losing leverage. And we're going to speak, again, we're going to speak to Ryan Gruduski here in 5 minutes. He has all the polling breakdowns of who's still with us, who's against us, but demographically, Latinos, blue collar this, but who's left us? Who's still with us? The ones who have left us. Why have they left us? Can we get them back? I might keep them on for two segments. We are going to break this down and see where we're at politically in this whole ugly bit of business. Jesse, my wife is one of these gluten freaks. It's not a big deal, but it does interrupt my Oracle-like menu whispering skills as we can't go to certain restaurants. Any advice on how to deal with these weirdos? Leave her at home? Make her eat out one of her disgusting meals before we go out so she can just watch me eat? Says his name is Steve. Oh, I'd leave her at home. No, I'm kidding. You can't leave her at home. The good news for these gluten people who are weighing all of us down is this is what, Chris? This has become so common that now almost every restaurant has an option for it now. Even this local pizza place that has opened up in my area that we all love, the kids love it, everyone loves it. And we're talking pizza, pasta, meatball subs. I mean, you name it. It's Italian, right? It's all car. It's all, the restaurant might as well be named Gluten. Even they have, you can get a cauliflower crust pizza. You could get, look, Chris, I didn't say I was doing it. I said some people can do it, right? So Op can go there and I can eat healthy and the rest of us can eat something delicious. There are so many gluten freaks that they're actually helping us normal people who aren't deformed. There are so many of them that restaurants know they have to have some sort of a gluten-free section for these weirdos who plague us all. So I wouldn't worry about it. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Trump shares a report on alleged Ukrainian plot to fund the Biden campaign. Isn't that weird? Ukraine would be interested in funding Joe Biden's campaign, keeping those checks rolling in. You really do not like the amount of foreign involvement in our elections. All right, we're going to talk to Ryan Gruduski. We'll get back to some emails next hour. I'm going to try to get some of those out, try to clear out the backlog, because I'll admit I have a little bit of stack here and I've been bad. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Ryan Gruduski. No wonder we're friends. Any man who selects the Beach Boys as his introduction song is somebody just all right by me, despite his heritage, which we don't have to go into. Joining me now of the 1776 Project Pack, my buddy Ryan Gruduski. Ryan, well done on the Beach Boys. So criminally underrated.
You know what? Like, they actually are. And once he died, I started re-listening to the catalog, and I was like, it was so good. Like, it was undeniably much better than people give it credit for.
It was. It was. And there's something to be said for music that just makes you smile a little bit. Everything's so angst-ridden and angry now. Anyway, we don't have time to go into this, Ryan, because we have we have to tackle things in the country. First of all, you are one of the best in the business at tearing apart polls, what they're saying, what they're not saying. So I give you the floor. How are we looking right now?
For the election, you mean?
Yes.
I would say like the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. It's not looking pretty.
Oh,
it's the one thing really working against us is voter intensity. Democrats cannot wait to go vote. They are chomping at the bits to go vote. And Trump has really lost a lot with independent voters. The one silver lining, I guess, if you want to find that silver lining, is that Latino voters have not Trump's lost some support among Latinos. However, they've not fallen back to pre 2020 numbers, where we're not going to see like a 50-point landslide against Republicans from Latinos the way that we used to historically do. The movement towards Republicans seems to be a bit more permanent than what Democrats had hoped for, even if there's some movement back, but it's not as severe.
Okay, let's focus on them specifically before we get to other things. I want to know why, and I want a couple things. I want to know why we get a higher percentage now than we used to, and I also want to know why Trump has lost a significant percentage of Latinos.
I mean, we get them is because there was a political realignment that will never be undone, in the sense that when Hillary Clinton ran for president, she got something like 45 to 50% of Latinos who identified as conservative. They were just institutional Democrats, the same way that the South, which was historically conservative, was voting for Democrats all the way until the early 2000s, really. I mean, in the early 2000s, you have very prominent Democrats throughout Mississippi, Alabama, I mean, in very, very high-ranking positions in the Congress. That's just changed as Democrats have become the party of weird identity stuff that they don't really, find interesting, and they realize they don't have a place there anymore. So that's a big part of it. And another big part of it is the fact that the Democratic Party has become identified with weird, especially trans stuff. I mean, the trans stuff and the crime stuff is kind of an irreversible stench that they just have on them, and it just doesn't fly in the face of a lot of Latino voters. So that's kind of just there, and also Latinos, the biggest populations of Latinos, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and Cubans, they're now several generations removed from being immigrants at this point. So a lot of them don't have the same connection to the Latino identity the way that they did maybe 30 years ago.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know that certainly applies to so many of my Mexican friends whose families have always voted Democrat. They were so grossed out and weirded out by the endless gay crap all the time from Democrats that they lost a lot of those people. Okay, so that's a good thing. That's good news. Now, I'm wincing. What's the bad news? Why'd we lose them?
Because the main thing is the economy. There's no other way to say it. It's rough out there. I mean, people expected prices to go down. They did not go down, though. Inflation went down. People expected wages to go up much faster than they have gone. They've gone up slightly, but they haven't gone up great. For new hiring, if you're unemployed, it is atrocious out there. I know people with real degrees, with real credentials, who cannot find a job out there at all. It is a very difficult time. And a lot of essential things that you need, like housing, hasn't gone down yet. Now, I will say the one caveat where we might see some kind of little bounce or some glimmer of hope is in these tax returns with the no tax on tip. I've spoken to people who work in restaurants and who are hairstylists, who said that they've received the biggest tax return they've ever had, almost a life-changing kind of tax return. So maybe we'll see a better bounce with the working class because of that. But look, I mean, look at these job losses. Manufacturing hasn't returned with numbers. I mean, in fact, it's lost jobs. So is a lot of blue-collar employment. That's really taken a toll out on especially blue-collar people, namely especially Latinos.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Ryan Gruduski of the 1776 Project PAC. He also has a wonderful Substack, by the way. Super informative. Okay, Ryan, other parts of the coalition that we have lost, at least for the time being, what are they, who are they, and why?
There seems to be mounting evidence that blue-collar white voters without a college degree have definitely eased up support among Trump. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to vote for Democrats necessarily. They may not vote at all. And this comes to the question of how interested are you in these elections, how interested are you in going to vote. There is softness around this, namely on the issue of the economy doesn't feel better. And obviously Trump is not as senile as Biden is, but the economy feels like a bit like the Biden economy. And they really were hoping for a return. Maybe it was a false hope, but it was a return to Trump's first term where it was, magnificent growth all around. They don't particularly care about the stock market, not that the stock market's done well. It really hasn't. And there's also a bit of fear around the subject of AI over, is AI going to affect their jobs? People are very, very nervous, especially young people who softened their support for Democrats, which they historically supported in 2024. But, you know, the economy for new employees is abysmal. Unemployment rate is well into the double digits for recent college graduates. And they are worried if the AI has kind of, you know, ended the job market for them. And Trump is the AI president. I told this to kind of every Republican worth listen to me. AI is incredibly unpopular. Data centers, super unpopular. And Democrats are really kind of feeling that populism out in a way that Republicans won't even entertain at this time. There's a very, very smart Democratic data scientist by the name of David Shore. Incredibly smart. You should look him up. He produced a study where they said if you introduce ideas around economic populism related to AI, there's a 4% national shift in the electorate from Republican to Democrat. What does that mean? That means you go from a Trump 2024 election to a Obama 2012 election. That is how severe of a shift it is and how worried people are. So you have prices not going down there. Inflation is going down, but prices haven't. You have a weak job market, weak hiring, and you have a genuine fear of people of uncertainty, especially related to AI.
Okay. Why? I'll just ask you this one. In fact, Ryan, do you have time to stay for one more segment after this one? I have other questions. Okay. All right. Well, so we'll come back with more, but I want to ask this question before we go to break. Why is Trump the AI president? Define that. What has he done?
Oh, he has been. I mean, if you look at the White House, White House's outline on AI regulation, there's very minimal. It's a little things towards children's safety. It's very, very small. Mostly it says, please stop regulating AI at the state level. And the answer from Republicans always is, oh, well, then we're going to have just California regulate. That is not true. Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Arkansas, all are regulating AI because the government's not doing anything and people want some kind of response. They're worried about copyright law. They're worried about protections for children. They're worried about, you know, these expenses and energy from data centers. All this stuff is real and it's serious, and they're very, very nervous about it. And the states are responding, and the federal government is it. And you have a lot of people in and around Trump's circle who are just tech bros. And the answer for them is always don't regulate the market at all. Don't raise taxes at all. Everything will be figured out. And somehow all this, you know, AI, all this AI innovations is going to end up with more jobs, despite many people saying it's going to take jobs away.
We are going to return in just a moment with Ryan Gruduski, and I'm going to ask him about the foreign policy stuff because everyone has a strong opinion on that. Is that a winner? Is it a loser? If so, why? But we'll be back and talk to Ryan about that in a moment. Before I come back and do that, I wanted to remind you that there is somebody trying to stick their hand in your back pocket and grab your wallet as we speak. That is how you have to think about online identity theft. And it's hard to fully understand and accept how pervasive this is because we can't see them. These crooks, these online crooks who steal people's identity and they drain their bank accounts and they take loans out in their name, they are operating at all times. Right now, they're looking for you. As you sleep tonight, they're looking for you. And they might get you and you would have no idea without LifeLock. LifeLock monitors all these dark websites. And if they get you, LifeLock will make you whole again. They guarantee it or your money back. You join now, you save up to 40% off your first year. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse, or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back with Ryan Gruduski. All right, Ryan, let's talk about the elephant in the room, foreign policy. Iran specifically right now. Obviously, Trump diehards are not going anywhere. That's always the case. Are we actually losing independence over this? If so, why? What's the gripe? What do they love? The floor is yours.
I want people to understand. Look at Venezuela and the arrest of Nicolas Maduro. It was a flawless operation. Literally nothing went wrong. And Trump experienced about a 1.5-point bounce from that entire thing. No one really cares. It is a very war-weary country who feels that we need to work on ourselves. We need some tender, loving care, us as the American people. The belief is that Trump does not have the priorities of the American people. If you look across polling, comments about annexing Greenland or comments about overthrowing Cuba make it look like he is very distracted. And there's been a lot of polling when it comes to the question of how do MAGA Republicans feel? I wrote this on my National Populist newsletter. I'm going to talk about it on my Substack, on my podcast, A Numbers Game with Ryan Gradusky. When you look at, it's very difficult to look at MAGA Republicans because there's nothing to identify them aside from what they claim. You cannot look at their voter registration data and say, oh, male, oh, Caucasian, oh, registered Democrat, registered Republican, lives in an urban area, age-wise, things that kind of weight polls to make them accurate. Everything is self-determination. So the idea of who is a MAGA Republican really depends on, do they like Trump at that given moment? Which is why you're seeing polls range from at low 81% support the Iran bombing to at high 92%. The highest poll of opposition was 11% and the lowest was 2%. So overwhelming, those who identify as MAGA Republicans support what the president's doing. But that is not actually the president's base because they're beyond that. The president's base comes from two different things. One, obviously Trump voters from 2024, and the second, whites without a college degree. The most loyal Republicans that there are, and at times the only Republican voters are whites without a college degree, or majority Republican voters. So when you look at Trump voters, at the very beginning when the bombings happened, 82% supported it, about 12% opposed it. Not that far off from where MAGA Republicans were, really. As gas prices increased because of the bombing, Trump voters' certainty about the support for the bombings decreased substantially. By March 18th, it had fallen to about 70%. According to the political poll, in the Fox News poll, it was 74%. That's a significant decrease from the 82%. And opposition, while opposition hasn't increased, uncertainty and undecided has increased. This fear that this is actually going to affect them at home. This is not just an arrest of Nicolas Maduro where nothing happens and this is over in 30 seconds. Among whites without a college degree, this is key. At the very beginning, according to Washington Post and CNN polling, whites without a college degree supported the bombings by almost 20 points. By the time that gas prices hit, they opposed the bombings by 16 points. When it hit home, they said, this is too much for me, especially as they have been reeling from high prices throughout the Biden years and now into the Trump years, even though incomes have ticked up past inflation levels. They haven't caught up to where they were before COVID when things were getting comfortable for them. So that is really where they're at, where they're saying, this is now affecting me at home. There are a few dead Americans. There's a couple injured Americans. That's all sad. But now I'm feeling it at my kitchen table, and I have to decide, what can I pay for this week? That's really going to make them angry and increasingly uncertain. Even though they trust Trump, they're uncertain that this was good for them in the long run.
Okay, last question from me. In your opinion, because you break all these things down demographically and polling-wise, if Donald Trump can find an off-ramp with Iran, wrap things up, come on back home, can we get them back? Can we earn them back? November is still a few months off. We have some time. Can we get them back?
Yeah, the good thing is that there is no trust on behalf of the Democratic Party. When you ask voters, they actually still trust Republicans more than they trust Democrats, and they're very weirded out by them. They find Democrats to be personally very strange, and their obsession with things like who goes to whose locker room and whose bathroom, and their refusal to just say, we're not a part of this. They're kind of dodging questions. And also now we have Democrats after a couple of victories, like in Virginia and in New York City, who are talking about affordability. And the first thing they're doing is raising taxes, including on middle income people. They're not really about that. So, yes, they don't like the Democrats. It's just a binary choice, Republican or Democrat. And a part of them is saying, well, Trump's not working out for me, so I have to vote against the party that's against him. However, they don't love that choice. They are not sold in the Democratic Party at all.
Okay. I needed some glimmer of hope at the end, Ryan, and you delivered it.
I gave you it to you.
Ryan, where do you stand on the chili cheese dog? Because we just ordered some of those because it's opening day in baseball. Where do you stand on this?
What is it? I've never had one.
You've never had a chili cheese hot dog?
They come with it's a hot dog with chili on top of it.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm what being kind of, completely serious. What is a chili hot
what
dog?
What kind of a, what the, it's a hot dog with chili and cheese. What do you mean?
On
what
top
is
or
it?
Inside?
Yes, it's on top of it. What? Do you live on the
I've
moon?
I've never had
one
like that
oh,
before.
Gosh. All right, no, we're going to, Chris, we need to send Ryan some chili cheese hot dogs somehow. I can't. I'm just flabbergasted. This is the most devastating. This is worse than the poll numbers. I can't even believe this. Ryan, thank you, my brother. Enjoy your weekend. Chris is a Jew, and he's had chili cheese hot dogs. That's not even legal for you. Ryan, I've lived a very different life than some other people, I feel like. Am I the weird one here? I'm not the weird one, right, Chris? Thank you. Anyway, we still have an hour.